ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. Text 7. Na dadyad amisham shradhe.
Na dadyad amisham shradhe.
Na chadyad dharma tattvavit. Munyanai swapara pritir yatana pashuhim shaya. Na, never, dadyat, should offer, amisham, meat, fish, eggs, and so on. Shraddhe, in the performance of the Shraddha ceremony. Na, nor. Cha, also. Adyat, one should eat personally. Dharma tattvavit, one who is actually learned in regard to religious activities. Muni anai, by preparations made with ghee for saintly persons. Syat, should be. Para, first class. Priti, satisfaction. Yata, for the forefathers and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, not. Pashuhim saya, by killing animals unnecessarily. Translation: a person fully aware of religious principles should never offer anything like meat, eggs, or fish in the Shraddha ceremony. And even if one is a kshatriya, he himself should not eat such things. When suitable food prepared with ghee is offered to saintly persons, the function is pleasing to the forefathers and the Supreme Lord, who are never pleased when animals are killed in the name of sacrifice. Although there is no purport by Srila Prabhupada given for the verse, I shall discuss a little and then proceed to the next verse, which also has no purport by Srila Prabhupada given. Here, the word pasu himshaya, himsaya, by killing animals unnecessarily. Priti yata na. The forefathers and Supreme Lord are never pleased when animals are killed. But muni anai syat para prati, when first class food prepared with ghee is offered to saintly persons, the Supreme Lord is satisfied. These are instructions for civilized human beings. And if we compare the standard of religious performance mentioned in the verse with the activities of people in general now, we find that most people are not acting like civilized human beings. Dharmena hina pasubhi samana, that without dharma, a man is no better than an animal. And that is a fact. People kill cows, which is the most sinful act, to drink the blood, eat the meat and drink the blood. But Srila Prabhupada explains that one can get the blood of the cow in the form of ghee. The blood of the cow is transformed into milk. Milk is transformed into ghee. And therefore, ghee is an essential ingredient in offerings to the deity and the distribution of prasad. And this pashu himsaya, killing animals, that word himsa is sometimes translated as violence and sometimes as envy. A person should not be envious of any living entity. Every living entity has the right to live, and we should not do violence to any living entity out of envy. Srila Prabhupada, well, in the list of unwanted creepers or weeds that can grow up around the devotional creeper, the bhakti lata, one is jiva himsa, envy of other living entities. And one manifestation of jiva himsa is to kill animals and eat the flesh. But another manifestation of jiva himsa, as explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purport to one verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness. It is the right of every being to live. But what is real life? Real life is devotional service. Real life is Krishna consciousness. There are many verses in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to the effect that if one is devoid of Krishna consciousness, devoid of devotional service, he is a dead man, although breathing. And in one purport in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur that a dead man who breathes is a ghost. or a ghost is a dead man who breathes. And non-devotees are like ghosts. They have not understood the essence of life, which is devotional service to Krishna. So, if someone is dying, say someone is dying in the street, if someone is dying, and we let the person die without making any effort to help him, that is, to say the least, a lack of sympathy. That is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that the quality of mercy is diminished, sympathy is diminished. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if some people, you know, if one man is beating another person on the street, previously any passerby would intervene and try to stop the beating. But now someone can be beaten on the street, people will just walk by. But Srila Prabhupada said this is a symptom of Kali Yuga, that people have lost the quality of sympathy. Some months ago there was a short video clip. It was actually taken by the hospital camera. That in the emergency room, some lady came into the hospital and she was literally lying on the floor. She collapsed on the floor in the emergency room of the hospital. And she was lying there for 2 or 3 hours. So many hospital attendants, nurses, hospital personnel were passing in and out of the room. No one even stopped. And eventually the lady died. And it was like a big scandal. And the mayor, the politicians will investigate. But according to Srila Prabhupada's analysis, this is the symptom of the influence of the age of Kali, that people lose the quality of mercy, compassion, sympathy. So that's shocking, that people would allow someone to die right in front of them without even making any effort to save the person. But from the spiritual point of view, anyone without Krishna consciousness is dying, like a dead man. He might be breathing, but actually he's dead or dying. And if we do not do something to help the person, we're just one, you know, callous, heartless, one more callous, heartless person letting someone die in front of us without any concern. The fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the example that if a man is running towards the edge of a cliff, and you know what lies ahead, that if he keeps running, he's just going to fall off the edge of the cliff to his death. So Srimad Bhagavatam says, what sane person, what gentleman would allow the person to continue on that course? Any sane gentleman would try to stop him from plunging to his death. So people in general are rushing headlong on a disastrous course that will lead to their death, spiritual death, and even, you know, repeated deaths in the cycle of birth and death, samsara. And therefore, anyone with knowledge, with any sympathy for others, should intervene, should try to help these people who are rushing headlong to their deaths or who are dying slow deaths without Krishna consciousness. Text 8. Naitadrisha paro dharmo ninam sad dharmam ichatam nyaso dandasya bhuteshu manovak kayajasya ya. Persons who want to advance in superior religion are advised to give up all envy of other living entities, whether in relationship to the body, words, or mind. There is no religion superior to this. On a certain level, this statement resembles the Buddha's maxim, you know, ahimsa paro dharma, that nonviolence or freedom from envy is the highest principle of religion. There's one verse by Srinivasacharya about the six Goswamis. Dira dira jana priya priya karo nirmatsaro pujito. The translation is, dira dira jana priya. They're dear both to the gentle and the ruffians. Dira dira jana priya priya karo. And they were all pleasing to everyone. Nirmatsaro, because they were free from envy, pujito, and thus they are worshipable. Dira, a gentleman or a sober person, is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehino smenyata dehe komaram yovanam jara tatade hantara prakti diras tatra namuyate. The dira, or sober person, is not bewildered by the change of body that ordinary people call death. In other words, he doesn't identify with the body. He knows that he's the soul within the body. Every living entity is a spiritual soul within a physical body in the material world, and that the soul passes through different bodies in one lifetime, from childhood to boyhood to youth and old age. And similarly, the soul passes into another body at the time of death. And dhiras tatra namuyate. A dhira, a sober person, is not bewildered by such a change. That's dhira. And adhira is the opposite. Someone who identifies with the body, or as Srila Prabhupada translates it in the verse a ruffian. But the six Goswamis were pleasing to all because they were not envious, and therefore they were worshipable. And Srila Prabhupada remarks that only a pure devotee can be free from envy, and a pure devotee is worshipable. And therefore the six Goswamis, being free from envy, were worshipable. And there are many devotees who have that quality of being pleasing to gentle and the ruffians. Here I think of Jayananda Prabhu, who was so humble, he would approach anyone to help with the service of Lord Jagannath, the Rath Yatra in San Francisco. And just all sorts of ordinary people. He was able to engage them in service, and they loved him. Later, devotees would meet people who had known him, just ordinary people, laborers, shopkeepers, and they all had such wonderful memories of him. And even his mother, I don't remember the details, but when Jayananda Prabhu's mother was in her last days, she was in a hospital in some town that wouldn't be considered very prominent, where perhaps there's no ISKCON temple. And it just so happened, but because of her son's purity, her son's Krishna consciousness, her son's good wishes, he had already left his body. He died at a fairly young age from leukemia. But she wanted devotee association. She wanted neck beads. She wanted to chant. She wanted to hear. And it just so happened that there was a nurse in that hospital who was a devotee. And that nurse got Jayananda Prabhu's mother as a patient to attend to. And the devotee was wearing neck beads, and Jayananda's mother noticed the neck beads and inquired, and then the whole story came out. And that devotee informed other devotees, and you know, Jayananda Prabhu's mother had a glorious death, as she decided. And devotees felt it was because of Jayananda Prabhu's mercy, because she was his mother. Of course, I'm sure he wished her well. Every devotee is the well-wisher of everyone, so what to speak of one's mother or father who have done so much to help one in one's life. And also, Krishna, there are many levels to this, but Krishna, you know, knows that the devotee is concerned about his family members. And Krishna also knows that sometimes the devotee will indirectly hurt his family members because he's pursuing a higher calling in life. and to pursue the higher calling, you know, unless the parents themselves are pure devotees, but to pursue the higher calling, he may disappoint the parents. They may have certain expectations of the child to be something that they want, that would, you know, bring prestige to the family in terms of mundane opinion. Or they may have expectations of the child that the child will serve them, you know, in whatever way, you know, help in the family business, help in the household, help financially. But the devotee has a higher calling. And in pursuance of the higher calling, he may be unable to fulfill some of the desires and expectations of the family members. Srinivasacharya's glorifying the six Goswamis, Dhira Dhira Jana Priya Priya Karo, that they were dear both to the gentle and the ruffians, and they were all pleasing to everyone. But when Raghunath Das Goswami left home, his father was not pleased, his uncle was not pleased, his wife was not pleased. So that happens. It's inevitable. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself left home, left his beloved mother and beautiful, obedient wife to pursue a higher mission. So, willingly or unwillingly, one's family members sacrifice when, you know, their son or daughter or wife or husband takes fully to the cause of Krishna consciousness. But because devotees are naturally soft-hearted, naturally compassionate, they really don't want their family members to suffer. And Krishna knows both that the devotee doesn't want his or her family members to suffer, and he also gives them credit for the assets that the devotee brings to the service of the Lord. We come to Krishna consciousness, we serve the Lord with body, mind, and words. So the body, you know, in the most basic sense, came from the union of the mother and father. And then the body was nurtured, protected by the parents. And then one's mind, if you will, one's intelligence was developed. The children, the parents took care to educate the children and taught them how to speak. So when a devotee serves the Lord with body, mind, and words, he's actually engaging in the service of the Lord assets that he has gotten and developed by the grace of his parents. So they get the credit. They get a share of the credit. Just like someone may dig a well. Digging a well is considered a pious activity. Even, you know, taking care of children is a duty of a householder. It's part of the dharma of the parents. So someone may dig a well just as a good deed. And Years later, after the person who dug the well has left the world, a sadhu may come and take water from the well. So even though the person who dug the well may have just had the idea to help the people in his village, may or may not have thought that at some stage a Vaishnava will come and drink water from the well. But when the Vaishnava does come and drink water from the well, that person who dug the well gets the credit for doing that service to the Vaishnava. And he makes spiritual advancement wherever he is. So in the same way, the parents provide a body to a living entity, and they nourish the body and protect the body, educate, you know, the person, culture the person. And when that person uses those assets in the service of the Lord, the parents get credit. And then on top of it, the devotee is, you know, concerned for the welfare of the parents, prays for the spiritual benefit of the parents. And so Krishna, taking everything into consideration, purifies the family members of a devotee. The famous example is Hiranyakasipu, who's such a terrible demon. He tried to kill his own son Prahlad just because Prahlad was a devotee. But in the end, he was purified by the glance of Nrisingadeva. And Nrisingadeva assures Prahlad that he's already been purified just because of you taking birth in his family, in his dynasty. Chanakya Pandit says, just as an aromatic tree, the fragrance from an aromatic tree will give fragrance to the whole forest, similarly, a devotee, the presence of a devotee in a family will bring blessings to the whole family. And just as a tree that catches fire in the forest can lead to the destruction of the entire forest, similarly, a reckless child can cause harm to the whole family. Like Ravana. Ravana brought destruction to his whole dynasty. He was such a terrible demon. So although a devotee may appear to be callous to his family members or her family members, actually, he's not. A true devotee is naturally concerned about the welfare of every living entity, so what to speak about one's family members who have helped one in so many ways and where there's natural affection. Even Hiranyakasipu, although he was such a demon, but still, when he took Prahlad on his lap, he cried tears of affection. It's natural. And so there is affection, natural affection between parents and children. And a devotee, although he or she may appear to be callous to the parents, actually he or she cares deeply for the parents, perhaps more deeply than anyone else. And Krishna reciprocates and gives blessings to the parents. And Srila Prabhupada once said, and I'm sure so many devotees have experienced it or heard of instances that demonstrate the truth of what Srila Prabhupada said, but he said that the parents of his disciples will realize their good fortune at the time of their passing away. Many, many examples. Even my own parents, they weren't devotees at all, but they both had quite glorious departures, you know, surrounded by family members chanting God's name. And in the case of my mother, I phoned His Holiness Radhanath Swami, because he's a good friend, but, you know, incidentally, he had also met my mother. And I told him that, you know, the end was coming near, as you could tell, you know, it was just a matter of hours. And he was in the Brooklyn Temple. It was very hard to reach him. In some cases, our handling of phone calls in ISKCON is not one of our strongest points. But anyway, somehow, you know, he got the message. And later, I heard that he had announced, it was the Sunday program, and he had announced, you know, that Giriraj Swami's mother is about to leave her body, and all the devotees should pray for her. And then he began kirtan. And during that kirtan is actually when she left her body. And meanwhile, we were also, you know, chanting God's name in her physical presence. So I know many devotees have had similar experiences with their parents. Just so that's, you know, one level of, you know, the parents of my disciples will realize their good fortune at the time of their passing away. And my father, it was very surprising. Everyone in the family noticed it, and none of them are devotees and wouldn't even say they're even favorable. But at the very end, like, his eyes opened wide and a smile came on his face. And like, and all the family was saying, like, what was that? You know, they were even saying, like, what did he see? You know, and they felt like a sort of sublime, I don't know if it was spiritual, but they felt like a sublime presence in the room that lasted, you know, for hours and hours. It was like everyone was thinking, you know, when the moment comes, it's going to be like a calamity, and everyone's just going to, you know, fall apart. And it wasn't like that at all. This very unexpected sense of calm and peace and almost beatitude filled the room. So this is the mercy of the Lord that he bestows upon the family members of devotees who at heart have no envy of anyone. They wish well of everyone. But again, because of their calling, sometimes they may have to do things that are not desired by family members who are not pure devotees. Well, maybe we'll end here. I never even got to the verse with Srila Prabhupada's purport, but I think we can end here and see if anyone has any questions or comments. And then I'm going to make a statement at the end.
Maharaj, is there any update on Devataka Maharaj's condition?
Well, yesterday afternoon, there was a message that said that he was improving and that the doctor said if there's no further hemorrhaging, bleeding, and if he doesn't get any infection, that he could come out of it in pretty good shape. That was the latest from yesterday. What I, But still, we should keep praying. There's no doubt. We should pray fervently because it sounds encouraging, but, you know, if there's no further bleeding and if there's no infection, so those are the gifts, but it's encouraging. It's encouraging, but we have to keep praying. The final note I thought of adding was about the families in the community here. Well, there's the families in the community, and then there's the community, which is itself a family. And going over today's schedule, of course we have our regular programs, but the youth, in this case led by Sri Rupa, wanted to make Saturday morning a day where the members of the community would come to the temple in greater numbers, which is a noble ambition. And I don't know if it's to encourage them to come or to reward them for coming or to give them something, if they don't get anything else, at least they'll come to the temple and get a special breakfast of pancakes and butter, I imagine, which is almost like ghee. So it's basically what the verse says. Serve first class food to Brahmins and devotees prepared in ghee. And then, of course, in the evening is the fundraiser for the school. That is coming more from the side of the elders, but for the benefit of the children. And the children are also playing their part. They're going to be, you know, doing some performances, making some presentations. His Holiness Sri Tattvaja Swami and I will be among the eager members of the audience. And then, of course, there will be the Dhammadharas to come, where everyone participates. But I've seen over the days, I think on most of the days, it's one of the youth who leads the Dhammadharas to come. One evening, Nityananda Prabhu did, but he's also still young at heart. He's no less of a youth. After the Dhammadharas to come, there will be Mahaharinam, which is again, you know, being spearheaded by one of the youth, Virabhadra. So it's very encouraging. Very encouraging. The reciprocation, how the elders are encouraging the youth, and the youth are encouraging the elders. The adults are trying to make the children Krishna conscious, and the children are making the adults more Krishna conscious. I remember one very nice couple in London. The husband is a disciple of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, Bishwambar Prabhu, and his wife, Jagannath Eshwari Das, is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But when they had their son, Srila Gurudev wrote them a letter, in effect saying how the child would act to make them more Krishna conscious. And it happens, you know, the parents who might have been a little lax in some areas, they think, oh no, we have a child, we have to set a good example, to take the child to the temple and to keep the house in proper standard, keep the activities in the house such that the child will be inspired in Krishna consciousness. That's a very nice reciprocation. Someone recently told me a story. It might have been His Holiness Sachinandan Swami, because we were together at the Japa retreats, but it might not have been. Might have been someone else at the retreats who told me about some Mormons who came to the Hare Krishna temple and became regular visitors. I mean, they loved the kirtan, they loved the prasad, they loved the philosophy, they loved everything about it. And, you know, they're like pretty polite people and very respectful and appreciative of the devotees. But at one stage, one of them said to one of the devotees that we really, you know, we really appreciate the chanting and dancing and the philosophy and the food and everything about Krishna consciousness. But we just have one question. Why don't you take care of your own people? And it wasn't said with like any malice or sarcasm. They just didn't understand. They just didn't understand. But here we do, at least to some extent, to a good extent. But that seems to be something that we need to be attentive to more in general. But here I'm seeing, at least in some families, you know, individual families, very wonderful relationship between the parents and children in Krishna consciousness, between, you know, the husbands and wives. I've seen in some of the families, one of the spouses went to the japa workshop and came back very enthusiastic. And so now, you know, they'll stay back the next time, and then their spouse can go the next time. And it's like encouraging each other and, you know, encouraging all the family members. So it's really very nice. So I congratulate the youth for taking the lead in so many areas of the temple. Jai. Haribo. And I congratulate the parents and the elders in the community who have created the environment in which the youth have grown and are starting to blossom so nicely.
Haribo.
Haribo. And new members of the community are joining. Mother Nitya Kishori has one in her lap right now, so it looks good, and it looks like it'll be getting even better. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Nigo. Gaur Bhakta Vrinde.